I pray that you just continue to guide us and move us through your word and teach us, Lord, and move in our hearts. And Lord, if there's anybody here, Lord, that doesn't know who you are, I pray, Lord, that you would open their heart, open their eyes to who you are, Lord, to know Christ and to make Christ known, Lord. I pray for that this morning, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. On the back of your bulletin, I've given you a few verses. I'm going to move this. Because this morning we're here to celebrate life. I remember when I was 24 years old, I was in the Gulf War, and I was in Dahran, Saudi Arabia, and I was riding in a Humvee. It's September of 91, and I had just been in country for a few days, and I was a 60. I was manning the 60 because we're doing mobile patrols in a housing area, and I was behind an M60. And we stopped, and the fire team leader got some letters, because back then they actually mailed letters. It was no emails or texts or anything like that, which it wasn't that long ago. But as a soldier, you know, you longed for those times when you got those letters. I mean, that was a special moment, letters. And a letter came up through the turret for me. You can imagine, you know, I was pretty excited. I grabbed the letter, and I saw it was from Sharon. So I was even, my wife, I was even more excited. And the only thing is that we were riding, and it was dark, and there were street lamps. You ever try to read something as you're going by street lamps? So you can only get a little part, and you're like waiting for the next light so you can look at it real quick. And I remember opening up this letter, and I looked at the words, and it said, and it was all official, and it said, "To whom it may concern." And I thought, wow, is this a divorce notice? I mean, I just got here in country. What's going on here? And I kept reading. And it said something about your wife or Sharon Simpson, positive. That's what I got, positive. And I kept trying to read it. And then I realized what it was. She was pregnant. And then, you know how you have like that thought, you go, Sharon's pregnant. Sharon's pregnant. Sharon's pregnant. And I remember I slapped the top of the Humvee because I was excited. Because I couldn't believe it. My wife's pregnant. And I hit the roof. And the fire team leader hits the brakes. Thinking something's going on. You know, and everybody's yelling, "What's going on? What's going on?" And I just shoved the letter down into the turret, down into the Humvee. And there was a pause, and then all right, that's great. You know, everybody started clapping, and I could hear them all slapping my legs. But they were all excited for me, because my first son was going to be born to me. And he's back there in the back. He's a big moose now, but back then, he was just a thought and just something that I knew was coming. And I couldn't wait to get back home, because he was going to be born in June, and it was September. I was going to miss most of the pregnancy, and I did, but I was there for his birth. And that was a joyous time for me. But I know when it comes, some people get that notice, and it's not such a joyful time. They get that notice, and their life has just been turned over. I mean, it means that all the plans that they had just stopped, and they have to make new plans. And sometimes the burden is really heavy, and that they don't want to keep the baby. I know this. And so what drives me to better understand? Why do I feel the way I do about life? And I believe that I don't approach the Bible to shape the Bible. I believe that I approach the Bible for it to shape me. And so what does the Bible say about life? Especially human life. So if I was going to make a decision like this, how would I show somebody from Scripture why I believe what I believe? And I just want to come to you simply this morning very simply, and I gave some Bible verses on the back on how we can approach this. And I just want to give you an answer to somebody so that you can look at it. And so we're just going to go through these verses together. And the very first verse that we want to look at comes in Genesis. And everything in the Bible starts in Genesis. I don't care what you find, even things in Revelation will find their way back to Genesis. In the beginning, everything starts in Genesis and has its roots in Genesis. And the first verse we got to look at when we start looking at this issue is Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And here's what it says. And this is God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and they will rule the fish in the seas, the birds in the of the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in his own image, created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. So we see that God, in this picture, he has created everything on earth. All the animals, everything is completed. And at the height of his creation, he creates man. Man in his image. And you can run in all kinds of directions on theological implications of being made in the image of God. But I can look at man and see that we are different from all the other animals because we are in the image of God, and we do things that are different. Artwork, music, reason, all these things that we have that are attributes of God, we have them too. How we love and care for one another. How we can care for an unborn child. That comes from God, I believe. It's because we're in the image of God. Jump to chapter 9 of Genesis, and we come to the story of Noah. And Noah has just come out of the boat on dry land, and he built an altar. And in verse 6, it says this. This is God talking about. He's going to make a covenant with God. And it says, whoever sheds man's blood, his blood shall be shed by men. For God made man in his image. This is again, and we see this is a thing that is important to God because all through the rest of the Bible, we can keep going. We can go to Exodus, and we get the law in which Moses went up on the mountain and came down. And the Ten Commandments, one of the commandments is what? Shall not kill, shall not murder. So we see this as an important issue to God, and it is God who decides who takes life and who gives life, because he is the giver. In one verse I want to stop by on our way to the Psalms is Job. In the book of Job, chapter 1, and it's not on your notes, but you can jot this one, 120, if I can get to Job here. So Job right here, 120 says this, 21, I'm sorry. Job 1:21, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Praise the name of Yahweh." And so here's the picture. God created man. He created man in his image. He gives life and he takes life. It is for God to give. And it is God who can take. And so the question becomes now, when does life begin, right? So that's the question. Somebody's going to ask me, "Well, Pastor Steve, that's all good that God gives life and takes life. But what starts life? When does life start?" Because that's a question, don't we? We hear that in the media. We hear that everywhere. When does life start? Is it at the first breath or is it at conception? When does life start? Psalm 139. I think, answers that clearer than any other psalm I know. Psalm 139, 13 and 14. It says, "For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made." And if you look down there in verse 16, which I didn't include, but it says, "Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All the days were written in your book and planned." So God knew about you before you were even born. And then when you were conceived, he put you together in your mother's womb. That's the picture painted in the Bible. So for me, there's no doubt that life begins at conception. For me, that's no question. Another good verse, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1:5. The prophet is about ready to start his ministry journey. And this is what God says to him. "I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you to a prophet to the nations." There's no doubt in this picture right here that God knew Jeremiah before he was born and had a plan and a purpose for him. And then he put them together for it. And I think that goes the same way for all of us. God has a plan and a purpose for us. And then he puts us together. He knew this before we were conceived. For me, life starts at conception. But God knew all along what the plan was for us, each and every one of us. So here's the big question. What if I've had an abortion? Because many of us, the odds are, in this room, have either known somebody or experienced one or someone close to us, somewhere, some way, we've been connected to one. Because I'm going to throw out a number to you. Barb said a number that was kind of low from what I found out and did some research. Let me just throw out some numbers, and you can think about this number. I started looking at populations of countries. Do you know Switzerland has 1.3 million people? I would think there'd be a little more people than that. But there wasn't. Switzerland, right? Jamaica, 2.8 million. New Zealand, 4.2 million. Finland, 5.2 million. Australia, the whole nation of Australia, 21.7 million people. Afghanistan, 29 million people. Canada, 34 million people. 34. Spain, 46 million. France, 65 million. United Kingdoms, 62 million. These are big numbers. Big numbers. In the state of California, there's 38 million. And since Roe versus Wade, 1973, if you do the math, we will surpass 57 million babies aborted in 39 years. That's a whole nation of people. Entire nation. That's a staggering number to me. In the Holocaust, 6 million Jews were killed. Staggering. And this is not a political issue. I don't care about Democrat, Republican. I don't care about any of that. It's just from what I read in Scripture. So what do I do if I've had an abortion or if I know somebody? How can I help them? Jesus started his ministry by quoting Isaiah. This is what he said. And he said this is fulfilled in you hearing this to the synagogue. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus came for the purpose of healing the brokenhearted. He came for the purpose to take away the sins that hold us captive. Murder is a sin. There's no way around it. The taking of an innocent life is a sin. And we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. John 3:3, Jesus talking. To Nicodemus, who had come to him at night, he tells him this. John 3:3, I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so we are separated from the kingdom of God. And he tells us, he tells Nicodemus that he must be born again. And then verse 16, he tells them this. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his only Son, so whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to forgive us of our sins. He came that we might have life. He came and lived the perfect life. He came and lived the life you and I could not live. He took our sin upon himself upon the cross. And he died in our place. He shed his blood for the forgiveness of sin. And he was buried. And on the third day he rose again. And by putting our faith in what Jesus did, not in my works, but in what Christ did, I have eternal life. It's a simple gospel. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul talking. This is probably one of the first things he learned when he became a Christian. And they even predate this probably to just within 3 years of Jesus' death. This is something that was being taught. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. It is in Christ that we have life. It is in Christ that we have forgiveness of sin. So how does that help me? I can hear somebody say, well, Pastor, that's all good, and I believe that. But how does that help me? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that when we put our faith in Christ, something happens that's amazing. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and look, the new things have come. In Christ, we can have healing from the broken heart because the old ways are gone, and the new ways have come. I am a new creation in Christ. If I put my faith in Christ, in Christ alone, I am a new creation in Christ. It is by faith I am saved, through grace. It is Christ's blood who cleanses me, and it is Christ who makes me a new creation. I don't know about you, but life doesn't give us a lot of second chances. If you make a mistake in life, sometimes it sticks with us for a very long time. But in Christ, we have second chances. In Christ, our sins are washed away. This is just a simple presentation. It's not your normal sermon. And I kind of just gave it to you so you would have something to share with somebody. That you could take this home and you could study it yourself. And you could practice it and share it with somebody. That was the whole purpose. But if there's somebody out there sitting here this morning that has never put their faith in Christ, I would pray that you would do that this morning. Because I so believe in this new life in Christ. And we're going to have three people this morning who are going to be baptized and show you what the new life is all about and how they have dedicated themselves to Christ. And all things are going to be new for them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that we are made in the image of God. Lord, I pray that weight would just weigh on us for a moment, that you knit us together in our womb, in our mother's womb, that you love us, and Lord, that sin separates us, and that this sin in our country, Lord, I pray for forgiveness. And I pray that you would help us protect the unborn and that you would burden our hearts for them and for the difficult decisions that surround it. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody here this morning that has heard this simple message, that just would put their faith in Christ this morning and realize that no matter what they've done, even an abortion can't stop them from coming to know Christ. And that in Christ there's forgiveness and the healing and the forgiving of sins. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.